You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Okay, good morning, church. How you doing this morning? Everybody doing good? Great to see you this morning. Thanks for being with us. My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I know we have some first-time guests with us this morning. We're so glad you could be with us today. Welcome to all of you. I want to welcome those of you who are listening on the podcast or those of you who are going to be following along with the video on the app, because I know a lot of people will be getting in their last-minute summer vacations. Hope you had a great summer. Man, here we go. It's just flown by. So if you're going to be gone at all, we're glad you can be listening and keeping up with the podcast, because today we're continuing our series called Complete. This summer we've been studying the book of Hebrews, and we've been talking about how Jesus is the one who makes our faith complete. Like, it's all about him. We need to be looking to him because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Everything that we need is in him. Our faith is made whole and complete in him. And today I want to talk to you about spiritual growth. Sometimes in order to grow, you need to be challenged. How many of you have discovered this to be true? If you want to grow in any area of your life, if you want to grow in your career or get better at handling your finances, whatever, like, sometimes we have to be challenged and pushed to grow. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever worked out with a personal trainer before? You don't have to raise your hands, but if you've ever worked out with a personal trainer, you've discovered there's a difference between working out with a personal trainer and working out by yourself, right? Why is that? Because a personal trainer, their job is to push you. Their job is to motivate you, right? Their job is to push you beyond your comfort zone, to pull something out of you because they want to see you get fit, get stronger, lose weight, whatever. That's their job. A couple years ago when we first moved to Westchester, one of the very first friends I made was a guy named Victor Piano. I've talked about my story with Vic before because Vic was the very first Dream Team member at our church. Vic was the personal fitness director at LA Fitness, and I met Victor, and he said, hey, I want to help you start this church, and we became fast friends, and he's still a brother to me today and a part of this church. But Victor and I started training together, and I made the mistake of telling him that I used to be an athlete. Come on, how many of you know, guys, it's a guy thing. Ladies, you'll laugh at this. Men, we're like frozen in time. Like, we see ourselves as 18. No matter how old we get, no matter how out of shape we get, no matter how overweight we get, you know, ladies, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're never satisfied. Oh my God, I look fat in this dress. But guys, we look at ourselves in the mirror with our big guts hanging out. We're like, I look good. Come on. I look sexy. I'm like 18 years old still. That's just how we see ourselves. So I made the mistake of telling Victor that I was like, you know, I used to be an athlete. He's like, well, we're going to find out what you're made of. And he kicked my butt. I mean, we started working out and he was training me so hard. You know, I was going home and like laying on the couch and I couldn't get up for the rest of the day. So I was like, Victor, I want to get in shape, but I actually want to be able to walk after I work out with you, you know? So, but he would push me, right? He would do things like he'd say, okay, we're going to do 10 reps. Like, you know, we're doing squats or bench press, and we would get to 10. And he'd be like, come on, give me two more. Give me three more. And my arms are like shaking. I'm like, you said we were doing 10, right? And he would change the rep count. Like, you know, I'm counting out loud. We're on 10. He's like, you're on 6. I'm like, no, I counted out loud. We're on 10. He's like, you're on 6. Why? Because he was pushing me. He was pushing me out of my comfort zone because he wanted to see me get fit. Now, here's a question for you this morning, church. How many of you want to grow spiritually? Is anybody here because you want to grow spiritually? Okay, we're going to challenge you today, okay? In fact, the writer of Hebrews is going to challenge us today. He's going to push us a little bit. The writer of Hebrews, in the portion of Hebrews that we're going to study today, he's going to push us some. He's like our personal, you know, spiritual trainer, because he wants to push us to see us grow, because here's the point. God's will is for us to grow. Come on, this is a church for people who want to grow spiritually. God's will is not for you to stay where you are. God's will is not for you to grow stagnant in your faith. God's will is not for you to go backwards, to keep battling with the same old things over and over again every day. God's will is for you to grow spiritually and to move forward. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about God's will for your life and how his desire is for you to grow spiritually and to mature. Now, last week, just to kind of bring you up to speed of where we've been, last week we looked at chapter 4 of Hebrews, and Pastor Jim gave a wonderful message about how Jesus is our perfect high priest. If you missed that message, go back and listen to it on the podcast to get caught up. And in that portion, in that chapter, the writer of Hebrews, he talks about how Jesus is our perfect high priest. And then he continues that into chapter 5, where we're going to pick up today. And then in verse 11, he kind of shifts gears. He changes direction and he makes this abrupt pause and he begins to tackle this topic of spiritual growth and maturity. So today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to look at the remaining verses of chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And then we're going to read Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, okay? Now, we're also reading together during the week. Our goal is to read two chapters a week. So hopefully you're keeping up. If you fell off the horse, just get back on the horse, get caught up, because we want to get the most out of this series. Some of you have never read the book of Hebrews before, so we want to encourage you to be reading along with us. That's how you can get the most out of this series, okay? So if you haven't read all of chapter 5 yet, go back and read that, because we're going to just hit the end of it today. And I want to give you four truths about spiritual maturity. Four truths about spiritual maturity. This is a good opportunity to take some notes, get out those note sheets that we gave you, or open up the Redemption app and take some notes. Four truths about spiritual maturity. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Number one, spiritual maturity involves listening. Somebody say listening. Spiritual maturity involves listening. What kind of listening? Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 from the New Living Translation. The author of Hebrews writes this: "There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen." Now, he's writing to these Hebrew Christians, right? These Jewish Christians, these very early Christians. In fact, most of the church, most of the very first followers of Jesus Christ were Jewish converts to Christianity. And so we don't know who the writer of Hebrews was. It's a mystery to this day. We know this was somebody who was a part of the apostolic community, who was writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And he kind of has a strong rebuke here, right? Like, there's much we would like to say about this. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is this topic of Jesus being our perfect high priest. Now, he's going to go on to unpack that some more. In fact, he devotes a whole chapter. Chapter 7 of Hebrews is all about how Jesus is the perfect high priest. And let me just stop and explain something, because some of you are going to read this week, and perhaps you're going to read chapter 7. All of chapter 7 is devoted to this idea of how Jesus is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, some of y'all are going to read that and be like, I don't know who the heck that is. That's really confusing. So let me talk to you about that for just a minute, okay? In Genesis chapter 18, we read about how Abraham, Father Abraham, you know, Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, right? We read about how Abraham, he meets a priest named Melchizedek. He was a priest of God, and he was the king of a city called Salem. Now, Melchizedek's name, his name actually means king of righteousness. And he was king of a city called Salem, and Salem means peace. So he was king of righteousness and king of peace. And then the interesting thing is, we don't know much about Melchizedek. Oftentimes when a character is introduced in the Old Testament, we get their lineage, who they were the son of, right, or the grandson of. We don't know what Melchizedek's lineage was, but it also goes on to describe him as a priest forever. Unlike regular priests, he was a priest forever. Okay, so are you seeing a little bit of a parallel to Jesus? King of righteousness, king of peace, like a priest who has no beginning and no end. Like, the whole point is, this guy Melchizedek, he points toward Jesus. So when you go on to read that chapter, hopefully that you'll understand that a little bit better. If you really want to understand it, go back and read Genesis chapter 18. Put that in your notes, and that'll make more sense. Okay, so the writer of Hebrews says, there's a lot that we'd like to say to you about this topic of Jesus and his priesthood, and we're going to get there, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. The idea in the original language here, in the original Greek, is that the audience is lazy in their hearing. These people he's writing to, you're like, you've gotten lazy in your hearing. How many of you know there's a difference between hearing and listening? There's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, football season is upon us. Do we have any football fans in the house? Can I get an amen? This is the time of year when God begins to smile on planet Earth once again. Football season is coming to us, and we're in preseason, right? The NFL's getting ready to kick off in just a few weeks, and college football's cranking back up. And you know, what happens is, a lot of times during football season, I'll be watching a football game, and I'll be really sucked into it, and my wife decides she wants to talk to me about something. You know, so she comes to me, and I'm really locked into the game, and she's explaining some situation and going on about it, and I'm nodding my head, yes, dear, and she's giving me the details, and I'm like, yes, honey, okay, I love you too, and she's talking to me, and then she realizes, like, halfway through, like, this is futile, like, this guy is just totally locked into this game, and she's like, you're not even listening to me, and I'm like, yes, I'm listening to you, I hear you, and she's like, okay, what did I just say to you? I'm like, can you repeat that? Would you mind? Right? And then she's thinking about poisoning my dinner that night. Because there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? There's a difference between hearing and listening. Here's the question, church. Are we just hearing the word of God? Or are we really listening? Are we hearing the voice of God? Are we listening to it? Come on, the psalmist said, God, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Have we come to the place where we're learning and we're growing and we're listening and we're hearing and we're getting the word of God and the things of God deep down inside of our hearts so that it brings transformation? There's a process here. There's a process. The scripture says faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God, like truly, like listening to the voice of God so that we begin to listen and it begins to build understanding and it leads to us actually doing the word of God. I love what Pastor Rick Warren says. He says, you only believe the parts of the Bible that you actually do. And so here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Like, there's so much more we want to give to you. There's so much more that God wants to impart to you. But we can't even give you more right now because you've become spiritually dull. And I think that's a challenge for us as well. Like, God has so much more for us. There's so much more he wants to download into your spirit. So much more he wants to get inside of you. But we got to become those who become listeners and hearers, those who get the word of God deep inside of our hearts so that we can actually become doers of God's word, doers of God's will. So spiritual maturity, it involves listening. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Spiritual maturity involves progress. Somebody say progress. Spiritual maturity involves progress. Here's what Hebrews chapter 5 goes on to say, verse 12. He says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So spiritual maturity also involves progress, right? We should be making progress. We should be growing. We should be going on to bigger and better things. The scripture says we go on from glory to glory. And look at what verse 12 says. The writer of Hebrews says, like, you've been believers for so long, like you should be teachers by now. Like, you're still having to go back and relearn your spiritual ABCs. By now you should be teaching, but you're too spiritually mature. You haven't moved on into what God has for you. And then he gives this brilliant analogy. Isn't this good? He says, you're like babies. You're like babies who are still drinking like milk. Like, you're still nursing and you haven't even moved on to solid food yet. Now, come on, there's nothing more beautiful than a baby nursing, right? A mother nursing a brand new baby. There's nothing that's more of a picture of love and care and nurturing, right? My wife, she nursed all three of our boys and it was a beautiful thing. But if you're a grown up and you're still doing that, that's just weird. Come on, let's be honest. If you're like, Mom, I'm thirsty, can I get a drink? And you're lifting Mom's shirt. Let's just be honest, that's weird, okay? I mean, my wife nursed all three of our boys, but the shop is closed now. Dairy Queen is closed. It's off limits now, right? Go get your own food. There's milk in the fridge. Oh, come on, you gotta have fun in church because that's exactly where the writer of Hebrews is going. He's like, come on, we gotta get you weaned. Gotta get you weaned here. The point isn't just to sit in church and hear the same old sermons week after week, Sunday after Sunday, like month after month, year after year, and not grow spiritually. When that happens to you, you become fat on sermons and anemic on application. Let's just be honest. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about getting the word of God and getting a hold of it and growing so you can move on to bigger and better things. Like, God has more. He has more for you. And so, you know, we love sermons. It's just the difficult part is when we have to actually put them into practice, right? Like, come on, Pastor, oh, that was such a good sermon on forgiveness. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you for teaching us about forgiveness until somebody rubs you the wrong way and you have to forgive them. Then all of a sudden, people don't like the sermon so much. It's not so wonderful, right? Oh, thank you, Pastor, for that message on generosity. It's better to give than to receive until God puts somebody, you know, in front of you who actually needs you to step up and do something for them and meet their need. Then all of a sudden, the sermon doesn't feel so touchy-feely. It's not as convenient, is it? And we laugh about this, but I'm telling you, I see this happen all the time. People who, they amen the sermons, they sang the songs, they went to the life groups, they did the Bible studies, but man, when it comes time to live it out, all of a sudden, they're not so happy about it. All of a sudden, they're not so quite sure if the word of God really applies to them that way. All of a sudden, all the messages I taught, they were wonderful, they were anointed, but now, Pastor, you're in my face and you're getting in my life and, you know, you're kind of pushing me a little bit too far, but this is the only way we grow. This is the, you only grow when you do the word of God. You only grow when you do the difficult things. That's the only way you grow. Isn't that true in life, right? Like your kids don't want to do their homework. They don't want to eat their vegetables naturally, but that's the only way you grow. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Like God's will is for you to grow up spiritually. Quit nursing. Move on to solid food. God has something better for you. And that's what he says. Look at this, verse 18. Solid food is for those who are mature. See, milk is wonderful when you're a baby. In fact, it's essential, right? Really, that's all a baby actually needs. A baby can nurse or drink formula, and like they're good to go. Like you can't give a baby like a steak, right? Here you go, here's like a ribeye, you know? No, they gotta, you know, they gotta work their way up to that, right? Like milk is essential, but as you grow, you need something more, right? As you grow, you need other foods. In fact, you need those other foods to continue to grow. I have, you know, I have three boys, and my oldest is getting a little bit too old for this, but the younger two, you know, they order off the kids' menu when we go to our restaurant, right? And you can be in a nice restaurant, but the kids' menu is pretty predictable. You know, there's a grilled cheese, there's some chicken fingers, maybe there's a kid's cheeseburger. Ain't no filet mignon in the kids' menu. There's no lobster on the kids' menu, right? Come on, I think God is saying to us, you've been stuck at the kids' menu for so long. Like, I've got something more for you. I got something better for you. I've got so much I want to teach you. I got so much I want to download into your spirit. I got some wisdom and understanding and insight. I have so much more for you. I want you to move on from the kids' menu. I want you to grow. I want you to begin to practice what you're hearing. I want you to begin to do the difficult things. I want you to begin to trust me when it's scary because I've got something better for you. I don't want you to stay on the kids' menu. I'm moving you on to bigger and better things. Come on. That's what this is about. I know we're challenging you a little bit, but that's what the writer of Hebrews is doing. He's challenging us a little bit. He's challenging us. He's pushing us. He's saying, I want to see you grow. God has more for you, something better for you. There's a lot of people who, you know, they come to me and for advice and wisdom and pastor, help me out. And they love God. And I know sincerely they're trying to follow him and they're trying to do what's best. And I believe they want to grow spiritually, but they're struggling with the same old things all the time. Same old problems, same old hangups and situations. And don't get me wrong, I'm not being judgmental. I know we all need God's grace every day, right? Give me this, you know, give us this day our daily dose of grace, Lord. We got to pray that every day, Lord, right? Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's something you can pray every day. But there are some people like, you know, they're just stuck and it's the same old thing all the time. And I just want to, sometimes I just want to hug them and say, God has so much more for you. Like God just wants to see you move past this. Like by now, you should have graduated on to bigger problems. Come on. How many of you know the more you grow, you just get bigger and better problems? Some people come to me, you know, Pastor, pray for me. You know, I'm upset with this person. I'm struggling with forgiveness. I'm offended. Come on, I want to get a t-shirt that says I'm offended. And we're going to pass it around. When somebody gets offended at church, you get to wear the I'm offended t-shirt at church. Can I tell you, if you go to church anywhere long enough, at some point in time, you're going to get offended? Because you know why the Church of Jesus Christ is full of imperfect human beings just like you? Man, if I would have gave up because somebody offended me, I would have quit church a long time ago. I'm offended. I can't forgive this person. I can't get over it. By now, you should have graduated to other problems. You should be coming to me saying, Pastor, God has done such a work of healing in my life. He's done such a work of grace in my life. He's reminded me of the mountain of sin that he's forgiven me of. And now he's using me in remarkable ways. Like he's using me to help bring reconciliation to broken relationships in every direction. Pastor, pray for me. I'm tired because God's using me in such a marvelous way. My friends are coming to me out of the woodworks. Come on. That's graduating to better problems. Some people are like, you know, Pastor, does it really say I have to tithe? Like, do I really have to give? Like, that costs, like, it's expensive to live in Westchester. Isn't that something only rich people can afford to do? And I'm not sure. I'm broke. You ought to be on to bigger problems by now. You should be coming to me saying, Pastor, I started tithing and I got my finances in order and God's blessing me and my cup is overflowing. And right now my conundrum is, should I give twice as much or a third as much as I gave in the Christmas offering last year? I'm trying to decide, should I sponsor two more sponsor kids this year or three kids? I'm so blessed, I don't know what to do. Pastor, pray for me. That's a better problem. Are you with me? Come on. Pastor, I'm struggling with the same old addiction, the same old habit. I just keep going backwards. It's like I take one step forward, two steps back. You ought to be coming to me and saying, man, I got a breakthrough. I put the word of God into practice. I got some accountability in my life. I got serious about this problem. I got some people praying for me and I'm experiencing freedom. I'm experiencing freedom. And now I'm helping so many people. I'm out of my testimony and out of what God is doing in my life. It's helping so many other people get free. I'm not even sure if I can keep up with all of them. I'm not sure if I should start one or two life groups this fall. Pastor, pray for me. Come on, are you getting a hold of this? We should be graduating to bigger and better problems. Bigger and better problems. I can tell you, when God called me to plant a church, I got some bigger and better problems, a whole bunch of them. Spiritual maturity, it involves progress. Come on, this is moving forward. This is going somewhere. We're growing. God's expanding us. We're not stuck in the same old place. We're not getting stagnant spiritually. We're not going backwards. We're moving forward. We're making progress. We go from glory to glory. He's shaping us. He's molding us. He's making us into something. You ought to get excited that you came to church this morning. I'm just saying. Everybody else is on the beach or on vacation somewhere, and you're here. You're here. Point number three, here's the third thing. Spiritual maturity, it involves discernment. Somebody say discernment. Discernment. Look at this. We're going to review verse 14 again. Look at the second half of verse 14. We're going to read it, but we're going to focus on the second half. Solid food is for those who are mature. Verse 14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. The New American Standard Version of that verse is, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Difference between right and wrong and good and evil. See, spiritual maturity, it involves discernment, right? The ability to discern what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. Now, we teach our kids, right? We train our kids from a very young age. We start teaching them things about wrong and right and making their own decisions, but we expect them at some point in time to grow up. We expect them to grow up and know what's best for themselves, right? So, for example, if your child came to you and let's say it's about 5:30 in the afternoon and you're having dinner for 6 o'clock, right? And your child comes to you and says, hey, dad, can I play outside? I know it's getting dark, whatever. I know we're getting ready to have dinner, but can I play outside? And you might say, well, it's 5:30. We're having dinner at 6 o'clock. But yeah, go outside. Just don't go far, right? Like stay in the backyard because we're having dinner at 6 o'clock and I don't want to have to come find you, but that's okay. You can go outside and play. That's good. They came to ask you, right? But if that same kid calls you and they're in college and they're away, you know, they're like 20 years old and they call you, hey, dad, can I go outside and play with my friends like Frisbee on the lawn outside the dorm right now? What are you going to be like? Why are you calling me? Why are you calling me? Like, what's your schedule? I don't know. Do you have class today? Like, do you have a part-time job? Like, are you hanging out with the right people? Like, discern for yourself. Make a decision for yourself if you should go out and throw the Frisbee, right? Because at some point in time, you expect, like, your kids to grow up and be able to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, and to discern. And this is what God wants for us. This is what Hebrews is saying. Like, this is what God wants for you, because spiritual maturity, it actually results in something. This is going somewhere. We're not just getting mature so we can be puffed up with knowledge and really smart and know our theology and our doctrine. This is about developing discernment. Discernment. What's at stake if we don't get a hold of this? What's at stake? It's not just that we don't develop greater, you know, theological understanding. It's that we actually fail to develop discernment. You know, that's what training in Scripture is. We did a series about that at the beginning of the year in Proverbs, right? And we talked about how really, like, the Word of God is all about the wisdom of God that trains you in discernment so that you can discern the will of God in every situation. Come on. What happens is if we don't grow up spiritually, if we don't begin to practice what we're learning and we don't step out in faith and begin to trust God, then actually if you don't grow, you can't tell good from evil. You can't tell right from wrong. Now, I know some of y'all that offend you. You'd say, no, Pastor, that's easy. I can tell right from wrong. Oh, but how easily our judgment gets clouded. Oh, how easily our hearts get distracted. Come on, the Scripture says all of a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord judges the motive. The Scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's saying that somebody thought they were taking the right path, but it ended up being the wrong path because it led to death. Come on, how many of you know if it ends up in death, it was the wrong path? You want to take the other path. Oh, no. We can easily get this mixed up. Oh, Christians fail all the time not because it was like blatant, like good and evil, like Satan or Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if it was always that clear, right? No. People got confused. They thought that something that wasn't right, that was actually wrong for them, was right for them. They called something evil good. They thought an opportunity. They thought a relationship. They thought a certain situation that they were pursuing was something good. I see this happen all the time. Oh, how easily our judgment gets clouded. Oh, how easily our sinful nature confuses us, and we end up getting this wrong. No, we need the Word of God. No, we need the voice of God in our lives. No, we need the Holy Spirit whispering to our conscience so that we can have some discernment. It's discernment that gives you the ability to know right from wrong. God, is this the right relationship for me? Should I be pursuing this relationship with this person? God, should I be allowing this person to influence my heart and my life, right? God, is this the right opportunity for me? God, should I be going there? Should I be putting myself in this position? Come on, these are the questions we face on a regular basis. And so here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. As you listen and as you put the word of God into practice and as you grow, you actually become, you're not like a child dependent on the ABCs. You begin to know how to apply the word of God to every situation in your life. Should I walk through this door? Should I be associated with this person? Should I fill my mind with this thing? And discernment is there to guide you. It's there to guide you. This is what's at stake if we don't get a hold of this. I don't know, how can we make it in this culture we're living in this world we're living in this time and place? How can you navigate this culture we're living in if you stay spiritually immature? Come on, guys, we gotta grow up. I'm here to push you today. I'm here to be your personal trainer today. Don't get mad at me, get mad at Hebrews. It's God's word. I'm here to say, come on, you can do this. I'm here to say, you gotta push through a little bit more. You gotta do a few extra reps, you know? You gotta do a few extra squats because God's wanting you to get stronger spiritually. He's wanting you to be more fit so that you can be a person of discernment. All right, here's the fourth thing. The fourth thing is spiritual maturity involves building. Somebody say building. It involves building something. Spiritual maturity involves building something, right? We're listening. We're not just hearing, we're listening. We're those who are getting God's word in our hearts and we're actually doing it. We're doing it because we've actually heard from God, right? And then we're making progress, we're moving forward, right? We're becoming people of discernment, but we also recognize that God is building our lives. Like God is doing something, God is up to something in our lives. Spiritual maturity, it involves building. Let's look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here's what it says. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again, again and again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Like that's the initial conversion, right? When you first came to faith in Christ, you repented of your sins, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. That's like step one. Look at this, verse 2. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. That's not meant to be an exhaustive list. It's a sampling, right? Like these are basic things. Like we know when you place your faith in Christ, like baptism is the step you take. That's what that represents, right? The laying on of hands. This is something the early Christians did when people first became a Christian, right? The resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, like heaven and hell. Jesus Christ is going to return. There's going to be a final judgment, some to salvation, some unto damnation. Come on, the Apostles' Creed. If you grew up in a more high church tradition, right, where you said the Apostles' Creed, these are the basic things of faith. These are the things we should know. Like this is Sunday school. This is catechism. These are the basics. Verse 3, and so God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. See, we're building. We're building off of what we learn, right? We're building off of what we learn. We're not just staying in kindergarten. We're building off of kindergarten. We're moving on to first grade. We're not staying in first grade. We're going from first grade on to second grade. Come on. We're not just going to stay in Redemption Kids nursery. We're going to start nursery, but we're going to make our way over to Redemption preschool and from preschool to elementary, right? We're not going to come in here into theater two and be talking about Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's important, but you should have got that in preschool or nursery somewhere over there. Are you with me this morning? Okay. And so we're building here, we're building. Now, this doesn't mean that you dismiss the basic truth of the gospel. Can I just say this morning, you never graduate from the gospel. You never graduate from the gospel. You never graduate from the truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped out of eternity, took on flesh and blood, came to this planet, lived a sinless life on your behalf, taught us the way back to the Father, proclaimed the kingdom of God, demonstrated it with his life, went to the cross in your place, took on your sins, died, sat in a grave for the better part of 3 days, resurrected, right? Appeared to the disciples, was ascended to the Father, and now makes intercession for you. These are the basics of the gospel. You never graduate from that. You never graduate from your need for what Jesus Christ has done for you, but you build off of it. The point is that the gospel is your foundation, but it's the foundation you were meant to build upon. Come on, put that in your notes today. It's the foundation that you were meant to build upon. God is building something. He's building your life, okay? So you got to know the ABCs before you can move on to Shakespeare, right? You got to know your ABCs, but you never graduate from your ABCs. You got to have that foundation, but you are meant to go on to bigger and better things. There's some other stuff waiting for you. The gospel is your foundation, but it's the foundation that you were meant to build upon. Like God wants to see you grow. God wants to see you move forward. You know, picture this. Can you imagine you're building a new home, right? What a nice thought. Imagine you're building a new home and you've got your concrete foundation poured and you invite all of your friends to come over for a housewarming. You know, come see my new house. Like your friends would get there and they'd be like, why'd you call me to come over here for this? Call me when the house is built, right? I'm not even giving you a Home Depot gift card until the house is built. I want to see the house. I don't see your cement slab, right? And so look at the picture there. Yeah, because the point is that foundation is meant to be built upon, right? The point of a foundation is you build something on it. The gospel is your foundation. We have to have that in place. We need that every day, but God wants to build upon it. Repentance and faith, what the scripture here mentions, repentance and faith, that's the initial step. Right? Recognizing that we're sinners, placing our faith in Jesus Christ, recognizing that we can't be good people and save ourselves. Like that's gospel 101. Jesus Christ did for you what you could never do for yourself. But we're meant to go on to maturity. And the sad thing is so many Christians, they get to this place where they've placed their faith in Christ, but it never moves past that. You know, it's just, you know, sin, confession, forgiveness, rinse, repeat. Sin, confession, forgiveness, rinse, repeat. You know, two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. Like they just kind of get stuck in this same place, but like God has something more for you. Can I just tell you this morning, church, Jesus didn't just come to save you from something. He came to make you into something. Come on, he didn't just come to save you from your sins. He came to make you into a son, a daughter. He's got a will for your life. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got an assignment for you. There are people around you who need you. He's placed gifts on the inside of you. God wants to see you grow. He gave you a foundation, but he wants to build something beautiful on top of it. That's the point of maturity. That's the point of growth. We're growing. And so look at this. I love verse 3. And so the writer of Hebrews, he doesn't even give them the option to go backwards. He says, and so God willing, we will move forward. God willing, because yes, it is God's will. It's God's will. You are going to move forward into further understanding. You're going to move forward. See, he says your spiritual journey, it should be a journey of moving forward. It's not a journey of staying still. It's not a journey of being stagnant. It's not a journey of going backwards. We're progressing. We're learning. We're growing. We're becoming people of discernment. We're becoming people who recognize that God is building our lives. Your heavenly Father wants something for you. Come on, just like a good parent, you want to see your kids grow. You want to see them grow into a wise and faithful and loving and caring young man or woman of God, right? That's what the heavenly Father wants for you. This isn't beating you up. This is challenging you because God wants something better for you. God wants to see you grow. He wants to see you growing in discernment. He wants to see you into where you're graduating from the basic and you begin to be able to apply God's word into every area of your life. Some of you have like a spiritual mentor in your life. Maybe you're in a life group and you have a life group leader, or maybe you serve on a team and you have a team leader, or maybe you look up to a pastor, Jim, and sometimes you have questions like, how did that person get there? It's because over the years of walking with Jesus Christ, they began to apply the word of God to every area of their life. And sometimes they failed. And sometimes success didn't come easy, but they were failing forward. They were making progress. And by the grace of God, they began to get discernment so that they could apply not just the basics, right? Not just Jesus, you forgave me of my sins and you saved me. Yeah, we need that. But they come to a place where as they studied God's word, they were able to apply it to every area of their lives. So now they can help you. Now they can grab you by the hand because they're like, yep, I've been there before. Yes, I've tried to tackle that issue. Yes, I've had to lean on God's word. Yes, I've had to lean on the help of the Holy Spirit because I remember the first time I tried to forgive somebody. I remember the first time I started practicing generosity, right? I remember the first time I had to get freedom over my hangups. And this is a scripture that helped me. And this is how the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You see what I'm saying? They began to apply the word of God because they recognized that God was building their life. And in the midst of it, without them even realizing it, God was building them into something beautiful. And that's what God wants to do for you. And so as we come to the close of the message today, I want to invite you to take an honest look at yourself in the mirror. Take an honest look at yourself in the mirror and gauge your spiritual growth. Come on, let's be honest this morning. Do you find evidence that you're growing and maturing in your spirituality? Are you going backwards? Are you staying the same? Are you stagnant? Or are you moving forward? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. You know, my wife has a measuring stick on the wall at home. It's on the wall. She has it there for the boys so they can see how they're growing, right? Because kids want to know, especially boys, right? And they're always measuring themselves. Mom, I grew another inch. And they get excited. And it's there so they can measure their growth. They can see how they're doing, how they're progressing in their growth. Come on, we're going to take a look in the mirror today. We're going to measure up to the measuring stick. And you want to know what the measuring stick is? The measuring stick isn't somebody else. The measuring stick is Jesus Christ himself. Like, are you becoming more like Jesus? That's a good place to start, right? Don't worry about comparing yourself to everybody else, somebody who's been walking with Jesus a lot longer than you. Come on, they got hang-ups and problems you don't know about, right? Most of us wouldn't trade our problems for somebody else's problems. If you only knew the problems they have, you'd be like, I'm good, I'll stick with my own problems. They got their strengths, they have their weaknesses. No, our measuring stick is Jesus Christ himself. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. That's what the scripture says. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control. Do you have more of those things or less of those things? Because typically we're either doing one of three things. We're either literally losing ground or stagnating where we are, or we're moving forward. And I think the writer of Hebrews, he kind of is shaking us today. He's kind of saying, come on, wake up from your spiritual apathy. Wake up from your spiritual apathy. Come on, it's time to dust yourself off and get back at it. Get back to the gym. Get back to running. Get back to eating better. Get back to training. Get back to growing. Get back to learning. God has more for you. What's at stake if we don't get a hold of this? Why does this matter today? I'm going to tell you why this matters, because God has a purpose for your life. Listen to me, church. I'm going to tell you why this matters. This isn't me just getting in your face and challenging you today. You know I'm a grace preacher. You know I love you. You know I want what's best for you. I'm going to tell you why this matters, because God has a purpose for your life. Because life is short. Your life is flying by. Your life is flying by, and God wants to use you. There are eternal matters at stake in your life. You are put here on this planet to make a difference. Like, somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to grow. Come on, listen to me, parents. Somebody needs you to be the mom or dad God's calling you to be. Listen to me, married people. Your spouse needs you to be the husband or the wife that God's calling you to be. Somebody needs you to be the son, the daughter, the friend, the brother, the sister, the life group leader, the team leader. Like, somebody needs you to get a hold of this. Somebody else, they're relying on you. God has so much in store for you. God has so many great things he wants to give you. So much insight, so much wisdom, so much discernment. He wants to use your life, but we have to get to this place of saying, okay, God, I'm yours. I'm tuned in. I'm listening. And if I have to push through some discomfort, if I have to learn to trust you in greater ways, if I have to let go of some things, I'm going to let go of some lesser things to grab a hold of some better things, because God, I want everything that you have for my life, and I'm not going to settle for second best. I want everything you have for me, God. I want my life to count. I want you to use me. I want to pray for you this morning. Why don't you stand with me? Worship team's going to come back, and our prayers, God, help us. God, help us. God, do it in us, God. God, help us, because we're so tired sometimes. God, sometimes we're just trying to make it. Sometimes we're just trying to survive. Sometimes we're just trying to keep up with the house and pay the bills and follow you. We're weary, God. But we don't just want to stay where we are. We want to move forward, God. We want to go from glory to glory, never be the same. We want to walk in your ways. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you, God. So would you pray with me? And would you just make this personal? I believe as you pray, I believe as you open your heart, the Holy Spirit's going to show you some areas where you have room for growth. Some things you need to let go of, some things you need to embrace, some habits you need to get back to, you know, getting back into God's word on a regular basis, getting back to prayer, you know, start with praying the Lord's Prayer every day, get into the Psalms, start praying the Psalms, like just get back to some basic things, being here on church, like prioritizing this time. And he's gonna show you some other things that you need to let go of. Would you just pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for challenging us. God, we thank you that your word is alive, that your Holy Spirit, you breathe on these words that were written thousands of years ago, and you bring them to life to challenge us today. And God, today we want to be people who have ears to hear your word, God. Not just to hear, but to be those who listen, so that your word gets deep down in our heart and it transforms us, and we begin to do the things that you're calling us to do, God. God, we recognize that we need your grace today. We need your mercy. Father, we ask you to help us in the areas of our lives where we've been stuck. Father, for some people right now, you're showing them different places in their life where they're stuck right now. And Father, you're wanting us to move forward by your grace. And so, Father, we throw ourselves in your mercy. We trust in you. God, we ask you to do in us what we can't do for ourselves. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us, God, that you will lead us forward. You will help us grow. And in the times when we fail, God, you're going to be there to pick us back up, because you're building our lives into something beautiful that we can never become on our own. Father, we thank you for it. Do it in us, we pray. Come on, somebody say that with me. Jesus, do it in me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.